We accidentally started the show on mute, so we're going to have to skip ahead. Hey, you can catch some of our Jersey talk, World Junior talk, Oilers, you know, leaving a little bit of a tab in Dallas, everything else on Twitter. You're going to have to skip ahead a little bit, but you can find it there. Follow us at World Hockey RPT. Also on Facebook, World Hockey Report. Be sure to hit us up there. Now let's get to it. Matt Climie, former Coyote, Dallas Stars netminder. Pleased to be joined now. Goaltender, spent some time in Dallas, Phoenix in the NHL. Spangler Cup champion. That's not bad. Pretty cool tournament. AHL stud. Got the European Tour, even up to last season with the Bratislava Capitals. Played some D1, Leduc's finest. Matt Climie joins us on the show. Buddy, what's going on?
Not much, Cody. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, not a problem. Let's jump right back into your juniors. I thought this was funny. I mean, hey, I played in the last season of the AWHL when I started juniors. Like, what was it like when you played? I think you played, was it Fernie or Kimberly? You played there. And, like, I mean, the A-Dub used to be half decent. Like, it was better than most Junior B. It was right in between, like, you know, going to a decent Junior A team or going to a Junior B team. What was it like for you?
Well, I was coming from Junior B in Alberta, where it wasn't serious. A lot of farmers, oil workers. So, I mean, most nights we're lucky to field 10 players. So I went to Kimberly with my brother, just kind of went there for the experience, end up making the team. So we're the goalie tandem. And to be honest, I thought it was great hockey at the time. Just from going to Junior B to Kimberly, I mean, just playing there and players obviously taking it more serious. The hockey I thought was decent, because that's all I really knew. Road trips were tough, though. I mean, we're going to Bismarck and Minot, where, you know, 20 hour bus trips on the old Greyhounds, and I was a rookie at the time, so I was doubling up.
That's rough. Wait, you said your brother was the other goalie on the team?
Yeah, he was a returning goalie. He was a starter, and I honestly, I was just went with him just to go to training camp, and they didn't really bring in quality goalies, and I mean, I held my own. And he kept bringing in more goalies and more goalies, and I don't know. It was just, I got fortunate where all the guys he was bringing in weren't very good. So, I mean, kind of forced them to keep me, and that was, like, my first real break in hockey.
That's unreal. Did you get to play in some of those Montana places, like Billings, Missoula, Helena, Great Falls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did Great Falls, Bozeman, Butte. And, I mean, those rinks, even in Billings, I mean, the rinks were great. Some of the rinks were getting, like, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 fans. So going from Junior B the year before to that, I mean, I thought it was my NHL at the time.
Playing Junior B in Leduc. Montana fans are crazy. I mean, that was my experience in Missoula, too. It was nuts. They're passionate. They're basically college fans. That's what it feels like. Moving along, though, I mean, you went out to the Maritimes to play juniors. I can't imagine what that's like for a kid growing up in Alberta. But then, all of a sudden, after college, you were undrafted. So you signed as a free agent with Dallas? Or how did that work? Like, how did I guess, the transition from college to pro go for you?
Yeah, graduated from Bemidji. I was 25 years old. Didn't really think there was much interest from the NHL teams, and I just finished off having a solid season. And right after the year, I was getting some interest from teams. End up hiring an agent. Agent worked out the deals, and then next thing I know, I had a 1-year contract from Dallas.
What do you remember from your first NHL start? Like, I always love to ask this question, but I feel like it resonates even more with goaltenders. But, like, what do you remember from your first NHL start? I believe it was in Dallas, right?
Yeah, it was Dallas, last game of the season, fan appreciation night. So it was a full house. Dallas is already out of the playoffs, but we're playing against St. Louis, who are still in the running. So, I mean, they took the game pretty serious. And it was it's so hard to explain, but when you're there and you're looking around, and I mean, the crowd's full, the rink is, you know, one of the nicest in North America. It just seems so surreal. And I just kind of battled through that, battled the nerves. And as the game went on, I mean, hockey doesn't change. It's the same at any level. So I think I just took my past experience and just kind of blocked it out, had the Zen-like approach, and we ended up pulling it off off in overtime.
Oh, wow, you pulled it off in overtime. I was just going to ask, how did it finish? That's pretty sick.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I was nervous, nervous mess, and I was just kind of just trying to hold my own, hold my ground, and yeah, we found a way to grease it out, 5-4 in overtime.
You had some awesome players, though, I mean, on those Dallas and Phoenix rosters. I guess it doesn't have to be who you played with, but even who was the best player you might have faced as a goaltender? Like, who was one guy who every time they were lining up, they're coming down the wing, you're like, oh, shit, this guy's got a bullet.
It's easy one, man. When I was with Phoenix, I ended up playing half a game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and obviously you have to go with Crosby. Just seeing him, you know, competing against him, you don't realize how big and strong he is on the puck, and it just seemed like every time he had it in the offensive zone, he was a threat to either score or set somebody up. So, yeah, he was by far the best player I played against.
That's fair. That's probably a pretty good answer. Now, doing some research, Matt. Buddy, I was told you're an AHL shutout beast, and so I was starting to do some looking into it. Okay, you have a record with Texas. You had 11-1 season, and then you had 3 straight shutouts in Chicago.
Man, I can't even remember. It all kind of meshes together. I don't know, too many pucks off the dome, I think.
humble right there. No, that's crazy though. Like 11 in a season's wild. Like, were you a goalie who's just like, not like hot or cold. Like, I hate that mentality, but like if you were like dialed in, you were just an unbeatable guy in some of those games. Like, obviously you were a top end American League guy if you got 11 shutouts in a season.
Man, to be honest, I drove head coaches crazy because at times I'd honestly would be one of the best goalies in the world. I mean, you couldn't beat me. And other times I'd get these slumps where I just couldn't make a save. And it just seemed like the harder I tried, the worse it got. And Mike, later on in my career, I kind of learned to be more consistent, but I felt that's kind of what held me back from having an NHL career, was just not being consistent and finding a way to kind of shorten up those slumps.
That's totally fair. As a goaltender, you really have to respect guys. Like, even Andre Vasilevsky in Tampa this year. I mean, like, just look at how consistent he was. Doesn't matter if he's getting 15 shots a night or 40. You know, he was always Mr. Consistent for him. So you got to respect that as a goaltender. Now, I mean, man, you jumped around in the minors. You know, you spent some time in the coast. You got to have a couple of funny stories from the coast of the American League, or one that sticks out where you're like, yep, this is definitely not the NHL.
I'll keep this up pretty PG, but I remember my first game in the American League coming out of college. I was with the Iowa Stars in Des Moines, and to start the game, they had the smoke, and we walked around, and I was coming out, end up like tripping on the star coming out, almost took the net out. I got back up on my skates, and I just ripped on the other end of the ice, and I was scraping it up. You know, the tunes were going, I was in the game, and the old ref came up, tapped me on the shoulder, and he was like, hey, wrong nets.
No.
And I woke up, and all the boys are buzzing, they're all dying.
Oh my goodness.
Tough start.
Oh man, I'd pay to watch that one. I think everyone's done that at some point. Maybe not at the American League level, but that's hilarious. That's a great one. Okay, Matt, you end up going over to Europe, and you know what? We'll get into, you know, playing in Europe, some of those favorite cities, but I got to ask, when you're in Germany, the fight with David Leggio, walk me through that, because that's a wild barn. I mean, that's a different atmosphere. Germans, they love the tough, gritty part about hockey. You know, what was it like, and how did, like, walk me through that story.
Man, it was... Yeah, there's not many fights in the German League, and I think that was the first and only fight so far. So, I mean, the fans still talk about it today. But what happened was we're in the playoffs against Munich. There are obviously big rival derby in the playoffs, and a guy was coming down. He took the shot, and then he just went in a turtle and, like, took me out. So I caught up, was pretty fired up, went after him. He kind of turtled, then I looked up, and... Leggio was out at the red line, and I was like, fucking right, I've always wanted to fight. So I ripped the center, I kind of pushed the ref out of the way, and I just kind of just zoned out, and I just remember thinking to myself, just keep my head up and chalk and throw.
And you dusted him.
Yeah, I did pretty well. Crowd loved it. Refs didn't know how to handle it, so anyways, I put my gear back on. I was in the dressing room. Guy comes running back, he's like, hey, you're still in the game, come back out. So we end up finishing the game, no penalties, nothing. It was just a crazy, crazy moment.
That's hilarious. No penalties or anything. It seems like European reffing right there. Did you ever talk to him after? Like, I mean, being an import over there, like, I guess there's a lot in Germany, but, like, did you ever reach out, or, like, did he reach out to you? Did you guys ever sit around and have a beer after?
I ended up seeing him the next year at Oktoberfest. Our team was down there. Munich was down there. I had some buddies off of Munich. And to be honest, he still wasn't too impressed with me.
So no.
I couldn't smooth it over. No.
Beef. Oh, man. I love it. I love it. There's some pettiness going on. Shots fired. Dude. Okay, so.
He tried to go round two at Oktoberfest. I couldn't believe it. He was on the table yelling at me.
No way.
Yeah, just making a mockery of it all.
Man, Oktoberfest in Munich. One, that must have been unreal. But two, now you got some petty goaltender beef going on in the Dell. Yeah, leave it for the beers. Leave it for the beers. Dude, you played in...
You know, I think he's a good guy, man. I just too many beers on Oktoberfest.
That's fair.
Of how the fight went.
That's fair. Dude, okay, I'm not even going to try list off all the countries that you played in because I'm going to make a mockery of some of it, but what was some of your favorite cities? Like, what are cities that you were like, man, that was really cool, just getting to play there, live there? Like, I can't imagine, like, you're going to be like, oh, living in Slovenia and Jesenica with, you know, just mill workers who are miserable, making $4 an hour. But, like, what's some sick cities that you got to play in?
Probably the best city was I ended up signing with Bolzano. And I left Slovakia to go Bolzano. I played one game, got first star. I just had a rock solid game. Team played well. The next day in practice, Mill D was playing forward. He came flying down, lost the edge, tore my MCL. So I was out the next 5 months. So just living in Bolzano, not playing, cities right in the mountains. And the Italians know how to live, right? They have that leisure lifestyle. So the food's good. Lots of wine, and I made the most of my time off there.
Yeah, Italy looks pretty cool there. Like, was there any city that you wish you would have got to play in? Like, man, I mean, you think about it, there's so many great cities, and, you know, if I'm picking one, like, I gotta go with Prague. Like, that, I mean, imagine playing on Sparta or Slavia there, that would be unbelievable. But for you, is there, like, a place where you're kind of like, man, I wish I would have pursued it more, just to live there for a year?
I'd probably say like somewhere in the Netherlands, not for the hockey, but for the cities and the lifestyle. But if I was going to go for hockey, I'd have to go Prague or Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin's pretty cool. There's a lot of history. If you're like a history nerd or something, Berlin's unreal. Netherlands also, heard nothing but good stories. It's kind of weird though. Amsterdam doesn't really have a team in their leagues or anything, but no, there's definitely not a bad lifestyle in Netherlands. Okay, was it 2015? You went to the Spangler Cup. Was it that year, 2015 or 2016?
Yeah, I think it was 15.
Let's talk about that tournament. I've heard the stories, Climby. Don't kid me. How fun was it, man?
Man, there's nothing better than winning. We end up winning on New Year's. So... yeah, it's probably the best New Year's I've had. Just coming off the gold medal and celebrating with the guys and then going out in Davos for New Year's. I mean, there's nothing. It's tough to beat that.
What's the party like after you win? Like, all of these guys, no one's worried about getting back to their club team. Let's be honest here. Like, do they rent out a hall for you guys? Is there bars and stuff in Davos? Like, what happens? Because it just looks like a ski village. It looks unbelievable.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, ski village, but the team ended up renting the restaurant and bar at the hotel. It was, obviously the tab was on Team Canada, so you could drink as much as you want. And then a few of us end up going out after that, and we just met some people. They took us around to all the best bars in town, gave us a VIP treatment. And then the next day I joined my team in Cologne, so I mean, it's a quick turnaround, but yeah, definitely made the most of it.
Who was on that team? Like, I think Glasser was the other guy, right?
Yeah, Glass was there. And he played well. He's just a big goalie. He ended up getting pulled in the semifinal. I went in, we were down 4-1. Came back to win that game, to go to the gold medal, and then Glass got the start, and he just had a stellar game. It was probably the coolest, best game I've seen live, for hockey-wise. It was just back and forth, so fast. So much skill on the big ice, and just nerve-wracking.
Did you guys play Davos?
I can't remember who we played.
Okay, because, like, man, anytime they're playing, especially against Canada, too, it feels like that barn's something else. Like, that's the experience of a lifetime for a player. Like, you know, you ask guys, you know, got, like, Scotty Upshaw and them, even they're going, hey, that's the coolest atmosphere I've ever played in.
Yeah, just because it's, like, a smaller rink, and when you play in Europe, man, the fans approach it like the soccer fans, right? Like, sometimes you have flair going off in the rink. Everybody's obviously drinking during the games. I mean, they're going absolutely crazy for the whole game. So, I mean, just the atmosphere alone.
How did you end up going over to Australia? Like, this was, like, a few years ago, or a couple of years ago now, but, like, you went and played in the Australian League. Like, I know a few guys that have gone there, like, fun summer league and stuff, but, like, usually that's more like U Sports and junior guys. I thought, like, dude, you must have had the best resume over there, obviously. I mean, you're probably the sickest tendy there, but, like, what was it like?
Yeah, I just always loved Australia. So I always loved Australia, so I always wanted to go over there, and I knew there's a hockey league. So, man, I just sent some emails saying that I was interested. Canberra was the first team to contact me, and they took it the most serious. So they brought me in, treated me well, and the league's not that serious. So, I mean, we practice once a week, maybe two times a week, and we would travel all over Australia, and we'd always fly in on a Thursday, play Friday, Saturday, then fly out Sunday. So it wasn't really a better way to travel Australia than with the hockey team.
That's pretty cool. So I've heard some funny stories of guys played in there and stuff, like teams without dressing rooms. Like, some of the rinks don't even have glass. Like, what's, like, I've seen pictures and stuff, and there's like steel cage behind the nets. What's that like as attendee? Like, how was it, just a weird adjustment, or do you kind of just be like, whatever?
Yeah, I was there for the experience. I wasn't expecting much, but I know our rink was probably the worst rink in the league, where we're in the ladies' change room for the swimming pool that didn't really have much heat, and then so we had to walk like probably 100 meters to the ice surface, and yeah, there's no glass. It was just all mesh. So, I mean, no glass, just mesh, and then we'd fill the rink pretty well. We'd get 900 to 1,100 fans, and you could literally hear everything they said. So we had some fans that would just be chirping the whole game and saying the most outrageous stuff, and you just hear it all, because just with the chicken wire.
That's funny. I guess the league's improved a lot, but like 5 years ago, I had a couple of buddies that went over there, and they were like, holy, like, there's some guys here that can't even tie their skates. I've seen that now, like, there's a lot more imports and stuff going, so it must be getting somewhat better, eh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a niche sport. So, I mean, the guys that do play in Australia, they take it serious. Like, a lot of them are coming over to the U.S. to get the development. Some are going to Europe. But there's no depth, right? There's the imports. There's always a line of imports that are really, you know, pretty solid. The second line's pretty good, and then it tails off pretty quick after that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, I mean, we didn't really dive too much into you know, some funny lifestyle stuff from living in Europe, but what was it like for you, like, the transition? Like, I mean, as much as people want to say, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of English over there, all these kids are learning, it's not that easy. I mean, come on. You have to have some sort of funny lifestyle adjustment story.
Yeah, man. Like, when I first got to Straubing, I got put in an apartment. I didn't have internet for the first 2 months. So, I mean, like, you don't realize how much you're dependent on Wi-Fi or internet until you don't have it. So, first 2 months, no internet. I had one English channel. So, I mean, that was a grind. And then just adapting to the crowds. Like, the crowds are so invested in Germany, and they expect value. So, my first few months, I was lights out. Team was lights out. We were beating one of the top teams. I couldn't go anywhere in the city, grocery store, without taking pictures, autographs. And then the tide quickly turned. I started struggling in December, obviously with my consistency issues. And there was one game where literally hundreds of fans were shaking their keys, yelling at me to go home. Go home, Climby. Go home, Climby. And this is like my own crowd. But end up grinding through that, and end up winning them back over, where we finished the season strong, made the playoffs, won the first round, and end up losing to Munich in the second round. So they end up coming around anyways at the end when it mattered the most.
That's funny. You only spent a couple of years in the Dell with Straubing, right? And then you went over, like, did your Slovakia-Italy tour?
yeah, I spent two seasons, and after that, I became kind of a suitcase where I was just jumping around leagues, just grinding and trying to find spots to play, because it's tough as a goalie, man, because there's always so many import spots, and like the top teams don't use that import spot for a goalie, and then usually the bottom teams will give it a go with the goalie. And as you know, in Europe, like the team's struggling, the goalie is the first goal, or else the coach, and it doesn't take long for them to make that decision.
Well, yeah, it's whoever's got the paycheck coming in. That's usually how it works. Be honest, so what was it like playing in the UK? Like, there's a lot of mixed stories, up and downs in Sheffield, and like unreal rink and everything. I believe Barassa was there when you were there, but a lot of guys, and especially goalies I've talked to, were like, never again.
Well, yeah, there's defense isn't a huge priority there. I think guys need to know that there's not like guaranteed contracts in the English league. You get your 2 week wage and then see you later. So guys need to make sure they tell their agent to get it in writing. So, you know, I'll say that you struggle for a few games. It's not an easy way for them to fire you. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But yeah, the hockey was pretty good. I mean, the fans were intense. There's four or five rinks that were all in. It was kind of similar to Germany with the crowds. And then the Scottish teams, the rinks were kind of beat up and not many fans. So it was a pretty big range of, I guess, facilities.
Oh, yeah, like you go and play in like one of those rinks in like Hull or something, and you're like, nope, not doing this again. That's Australia level. Okay, I got to ask another one too, because I've had some buddies that have played in that Alps League, the second one there. Did you ever play against one of those like junior teams or U20 teams in the league? Because I've heard some funny stories about like those teams getting like 5 to 6 shots a game.
Not in the Alps League, but in Slovakia, they had the under-20 team play in the Slovakian League. And man, I played the one game against them. It was so hard because the hockey's so bad. And the refs obviously favored the under-20, so you spend the whole game in the penalty box. You literally spend the whole 60 minutes 5-on-4, 5-on-3. So the game ends up becoming a grind because you just don't have a chance to, you know, I mean, you get the odd shorthanded chance, but a lot of times you just spend the whole game defending.
That's hilarious. And then last year, what, you just had a couple of buddies in Bratislava? Like, I know they had a few North Americans. Like, what, were they just kind of like, hey, come here and play? Like, we need a guy for Slovakia too, or what?
Yeah, I played Australia. I was going to retire after that because my girl was pregnant at the time, and I didn't want to miss the pregnancy. So I went back to Straubing to be with her. We had the baby, and they were just kind of on me for like 2-3 weeks. And they're like, you know, good money, great city. Like, Bratislava is actually a great city.
Yeah.
Really fun city. I mean, it's affordable. Everything's pretty cheap there. And they wanted to move up to the top Slovakian league, or they wanted to join the EBEL, which they end up doing. So they end up stacking a team. We're just walking over all over everybody. So it's kind of a cheap way to win a championship, but that's what I was trying to do.
Hey, it works out. They got into the EBEL, so shout out to them. They took the place of that Czech team that was always in financial trouble, so not surprising. Yeah. Buddy, I mean, hey, I appreciate you taking the time. I know I've taken enough of your time, but I want to ask, like, what are you up to now? I know talking, you said you want to get healthy, you got a surgery on the way, but what's the future looking like for you? Like, you know, obviously you've got your goaltending school too. You got a shit ton of knowledge and experience up there. I'm sure you can help some goalies along with that.
Yeah, right now, I mean, I'm just trying to figure that out. I'm taking some online classes. I have the knee surgery in a week, so I need to rehab that. And I'm just kind of waiting for this COVID to play out and see how countries react to it. And, yeah, maybe get a real-life job. But I'm always going to stay involved in hockey, if that's going to be goalie school plus private lessons. I am thinking about becoming like helping guys get to Europe with contracts, because I've been around to so many leagues. I kind of know the drift of it. I can help out a lot of guys. So I'm kind of leaning towards that too, having a side hustle and just helping North Americans get good spots in Europe so they can continue their careers.
Well, hey, I mean, you've been to enough places. I'm sure you got some connections, although import coaches get fired every other year over there. But hey, you get some sort of reputation. I'm sure you'd be good. Man, you know, thank you for hopping on. I appreciate that. I knew, you know, just going through and seeing everything, talking to people. I mean, hey, I'm up in Fort Sask. You're from Leduc. So it's close enough to growing up around here. And, you know, you had some great stories. Really appreciate that. Hope all goes good for you. I know you're in Germany. Hope you guys are staying safe there. I know it's a weird time for everyone. But, no, really appreciate you taking the time.
No worries, but I hope you all the best.
Huge thanks. to Matt Climby there. Clutch coming through. I know we're running a little late now. Sorry, Jeff, about that. Hey, that was a good one. Appreciate Matt taking the time. We got to dive into some funny stories. Of course, there's a lot more to come. Follow us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. Shout out 12 Ounce Sports Zingo TV channel 761. Tons of great shows. Hey, you know what? I've been hooked. Pete's Power Plays. You want to make some money this hockey season? Watch Philly Pete. I'm telling you, you're not going to miss it. And tell me, everyone.